Welcome to That 80s Show. Milli Vanilli. Is it ever bad to start with Milli Vanilli? Dori, what do you think?
Well, it depends on if you're actually playing Milli Vanilli or just, you know, miming.
So that's the thing, right? You know, past couple of weeks, we think it's fun. We start off the show with a misheard lyric from the opening song. But then I thought this week, every Milli Vanilli lyric is misheard.
Oh, yeah.
Will that ever stop being funny?
I mean, it's not funny, though, because I actually recently listened to a podcast about the Milli Vanilli story, even though I remember it. I mean, I literally remember it unfolding in real time. But there was a podcast called, there's a great podcast called Swindled, which actually had a story about another musician who completely swindled people. But they start off with, they always have like two stories on the podcast, and they start off with the Milli Vanilli story. And I'd forgotten how sad it actually was. And we know that, you know, it did end in death for one of them. And it just, it was actually just a story of exploitation and lies and deception and just not nice, actually.
So, Dori, it's almost as if you knew what we're going to talk about next, because...
How would I have known, though?
How would you know? In the works this past week has come out the first pictures of the guys playing Rob and Fabrice in the Milli Vanilli biopic. I mean, this. They're making a movie on the story.
I'm sure there are other stories that need to be told, but I'm glad they're telling this one. I think it is an interesting story. It is, though.
It is, and especially that point of it. So those of you who don't know, the fun part of it, we all laugh at this, right? Milli Vanilli, beautifully constructed. And people make bands, right? People aren't naturally bands. They take these two guys, two good-looking guys, they were actually models, and they say, you guys should be this dance group. They blow up. They become absolutely massive, I think beyond anyone's expectations. They go, like, two good-looking guys dancing and singing, that's hit. But I think it went beyond everything. And then, of course, the moment that broke the whole thing, they were performing on which TV? They won Grammys. They won a Grammy as Best New Artist, Best Newcomer. And then they were on a show, and suddenly the voice track was out of sync, and they were found to be lip-syncing. Now, people, okay, it's not that bad to be lip-syncing, except for Milli Vanilli. They actually weren't even the singers. There was a real band behind them singing, made up of men and women. I think it was five or six people, you know. Who then subsequently released under the title The Real Milli Vanilli.
Oh, and, this was so bad.
I mean, how could you be so bad?
And the worst part, I don't know if you remember, is that the guys who were playing Milli Vanilli then tried to prove that they could sing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and it was bad because they couldn't.
No, they could not.
It was very sad.
It was such a weird thing. And at the end of it, we go there. Who won at the end of the day? No one won because we got no more music. If we had just been transparent and gone, look, these two are going to dance. We're going to sing. We're still going to release stuff. Who's upset about that? Like Bad Boys Blue. Bad Boys Blue is still going. They just keep changing members, right? We all lost because we want to be clever dicks.
The thing at the time, right, was that the real Milli Vanilli were just nothing to look at, right? And
like
more
background.
Than that, I think they didn't want the limelight. They didn't want to be on stage. They wanted to create songs. They could create songs, but they didn't want to be out there. So they were like, well, these guys will just be the face of us and we'll make the music in the background. But yes, I agree. They should have just been transparent about it from the start and then it would have been fine.
Yeah, just own up to it. It's like, okay, guys, listen, we messed up, but like you kind of did like our music. So we're just going to carry on doing that, except we're not going to lie to you. And
real Milli stuff wasn't great.
No, it sucked. But because they didn't have Rob and Fabrice dancing. And then, of course, it was Rob. Rob took his life, correct? I think he took a drug overdose. Fabrice, is he still alive?
As far as I know, I haven't actually, you know, checked it out lately. But
I think he still
is. In the podcast, they actually reminded us that Rob had actually attempted to take his life before he ended up being successful. It was like a long, it was a long road of sad and depression and, it wasn't nice.
So in this article, the movie's going to be called Girl, You Know It's True. And what they say is like swindled, right? I've got to take a listen to that because what it says,
must listen to it because apart from the Milli Vanilli story, the second story, which is the longest story on the podcast, blew my mind. I did not know it. It was amazing.
See, look at that 80 show.
I will tell you, it was, I'll have to tell you, I'll put a link on it to, because it's a specific name that I literally can't remember right now. But you see, I'll put it up there on our Facebook page.
You see, look at it. Look at that 80 show. You come for one podcast, you get podcast recommendations. I mean, honestly. But to that, it talks about the movie Girl, You Know It's True. It's about that. It's all about the seedy mechanizations behind the scenes, how they just take advantage of people. It's an ugly music industry story rather than, haha, let's laugh at these two guys. Because as it says, yeah, the director of the movie says, I think Robin Fab did not deserve to become the sole scapegoats of the scandal. Because it's true. There's some record and music executives who completely got away scot-free. They're still out there today making billions.
In fact, if you listen to the podcast, that's the point that's put across, is that they were actually completely exploited. They didn't even really realize what was happening. They were coerced into it. Like, it wasn't their idea.
No, of course.
Yeah.
Of course not.
Yeah.
So let's get into, I mean, that's deep from us. Just quickly,
Fab is still around. He is 56. Okay. It says on his Wikipedia page that singer, songwriter, rapper, dancer, model, and it says years active 1988 to present. So he's still doing things, but we just don't know. But he's apparently still doing things.
We've got to find that out. So I want to talk about the two guys who've been cast to play Robin Fabrice, right?
Okay.
I'm going to post this picture up. Oh, okay. I'll take by the tone of your voice, right? Actors not heard of these guys, Elan Ban Ali and Tijan Inji, right?
Are they French?
Those are French-sounding names, definitely French descent. These are some good-looking guys here, Dory.
Sure. I'm looking. Right? I see it.
The guy playing Rob, even, I don't know if those are the natural color eyes, because Rob had blue eyes, right? I'll tell you what, though. As good looking as these two guys are, they will never be as striking as what Rob and Fab were in the 80s. Because guys didn't know that kind of good looking, right? They were the first guys to be big, beautiful, dreadlocks, with like these smooth dreadlocks. Them and I'd say like Terrence Trent D'Arby, as he is known then. Podcast plug. Our friend, the celeb savant, spoke to his new iteration, Sananda Maitreya. Go check that out in our feed on cliffcentral.com. So kind of the three of them were the first three that you were, wow, I've never seen dreadlocks on a man like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
They were just the object of so many affections and numerous erections, if I may say so.
But now, this picture on this webpage that you have sent me, is this... That's the guys playing Marinelli. I mean, they look identical to the real Marinelli.
They look identical. It's gorgeously done. It is very well done. I hope they have the accents, because Milli Vanilli, I mean, the accents.
Yes.
You heard it at the beginning of the song we played. Girl, You Know It's True. I played that version because it got the little interlude where he's talking. Girl, you know, it's so true.
Whose voice was that really?
No, that I think was definitely them. That's why we lost. Like, they should have sang under that. Oh, I can just see them to this day. We should have just left them be. They would have done like beach reunion tours. They would have been on ocean cruises. Like, we have all lost because we want to be clever dicks. And but that's not the person singing, hello, have you listened to any music in the past 15 years?
Yeah, I mean, who cares?
Who cares now, right? So, second movie biopic that I want to talk about. This is the last time I talk about this until it comes out. Okay, because I'm actually getting annoyed by this. I love Weird Al Yankovic. Love him to bits, right?
Is it not out yet?
No, it is still not out. There is still no release date, right? We've been talking about this since the 80s, I'm pretty sure, right? All they keep doing is releasing longer and longer trailers. But actually, this is the last time I talk about it, but solely because I want to read a quote from Weird Al Yankovic, right? So Weird Al Yankovic, guy, did a lot of parody songs in the 80s. They're releasing a movie about him, right? A biopic. But what they're saying is, when you watch this, don't take it. And I think this is retcon now, because they've probably done some audience surveys and the audience has gone, this sucks, guys.
Right. Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Because they're now starting to put this narrative that it's a parody of a biopic all of a sudden, right? It was never a parody of a biopic when it started. Now it's a parody of biopic movies suddenly. And I'm telling you, this went through some test screenings and people were confused as shit. And I'll tell you why. Here's a couple of things. Firstly, Weird Al Yankovic is being played by Daniel Craig, Harry Potter. Okay.
Right. Now, Daniel Radcliffe.
Wrong
Daniel.
It's James Bond. Right. Take two. Weird Al Yankovic is being played by Daniel Craig, a.k.a. Harry Potter. Now, so a couple
again,
of things.
Again, you did it again. You said Daniel Craig again.
Okay. Take three. See, Dory is a fact checker in her real life, right? And my God, she's got a work cut out for her every Friday morning. Okay. Take three. Weird Al Yankovic is being played by Daniel Radcliffe. I get
well
it right.
Done.
Okay. Now, here's the first problem. Weird Al Yankovic is tall and lanky. Daniel Radcliffe is not.
Mm-hmm. The opposite, okay? Literally. Yeah.
The total. Daniel Radcliffe also, and he's done great, like he's kind of got out of that child actor thing, but we still see Harry Potter all over the place. So he's always Harry Potter. Like he will never not be Harry Potter. Roger Moore will always be James Bond. Like it just, that's what it'll be, right?
Right.
Another thing triggers me. A lot of the shots, they're trying to thirst trap Weird Al Yankovic and paint him as a sex symbol that bedded 1980s Madonna. This is what they're trying to suggest here. Okay, now, if you believe the U magazine and the Personality magazine from the 1980s, Madonna slept with everyone, I don't think it's true. It was tabloid nonsense. But in this, they're intimating that the two of them had a relationship. This is how sexy they think Weird Al Yankovic was. Do you believe that at all?
Has Madonna responded to this?
Oh, you know Madonna. So, look, the story is true. She's the only artist that asked Weird Al Yankovic to parody one of her songs. She requested it, right?
So, because the thing is, if we haven't heard from her, then chances are it is true. If it wasn't true, you would have heard from her, right?
Who knows? Madonna wants the attention.
I'm just guessing.
Okay. So, this is what they're intimating in this. So, firstly, I cannot put the two together that A, Weird Al Yankovic is sexy, and B, that Harry Potter is trying to be sexy as Weird Al Yankovic. Okay, this bothers me. Okay.
It is really weird. But who else could they have cast?
Oh, some unknown actor? I mean, they just put a curly wig on Harry Potter.
They don't do that, though. They don't cast unknown actors for things like this.
So, I think this thing is going to be a mess. I think it's all as a sign. When a movie takes forever to come out, but they promote the shit out of it, and it's going to streaming. It's not even box office. It's going to streaming. And not even one of the biggies, the Roku channel. Right?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a dud, right? And we spoke about the Madonnaverse a few weeks ago of all these different actresses who are currently playing Madonna, while there's the real Madonna, the NFT Madonna. The girl from Ozark is Madonna. Even Rachel Wood is Madonna. And they all exist at the same time in this Madonnaverse, right?
Right.
So we've spoken about that, but I want to read about, so they're saying now, don't treat it as a biopic. This is not Elvis or Bohemian Rhapsody. It's a parody of those, which means they've retconned something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I want to read you a quote from Weird Al. Okay, this is in typical Weird Al style. When my last movie, UHF, came out in 1989, I made a solemn vow to my fans that I would release a major motion picture every 33 years, like clockwork. I'm very happy to say we're on schedule. And I'm absolutely thrilled that Daniel Radcliffe will be portraying me in the film. I have no doubt whatsoever that this is the role generations will remember him for.
Wow. Cringe?
It's perfect. That's perfect Weird Al. It's probably the most amusing thing out of it.
No, but like... Okay, all right. Let's see.
Come on. He's saying on schedule he's doing a movie every 33 years. Daniel Radcliffe, this is what people are going to remember him for. Come on.
When was his last movie? 1999.
1989. UHF, we reviewed it.
1989, okay.
Yeah, right. It's a joke. He's making a joke.
I understand he's making a joke. Okay. All right.
This is not the point in the year 2022, the year of our Lord, that we start calling Weird Al cringe. It's not, now is not the time. We've been there. We've written that episode. We're not going to call him cringe now, but listen, instead of talking about movies that were set in the 80s, let's talk about movies from the 80s. Even though sometimes we do talk about movies and TV shows set in the 80s. Dari, before we move on, are we going to touch on Neverending Story? Let's just do it quickly. Right, so Dari sends me the other day. What was your feeling when you sent me that movie poster?
Horror. Didn't I even say on it, the horror? I said that.
You did say the horror. Yeah. So Dari sends me this movie poster. Just a little WhatsApp post of a movie. Disney presents The Neverending Story. And we're like, oh, mm-hmm. God. Disney didn't present
one
the
of my
first
friends,
one.
One of my friends posted it on Facebook with also like just like horrified commentary. And I didn't even know if it was a real thing. I didn't bother to check. I just sent it straight to you and went, oh, my God. Basically.
I checked.
Even the thought of it.
I checked.
Yes. What did you find?
So obviously we think this week is D23, where Disney just announces all the stuff they got coming up and releases all the new shows and movies. So I thought it must be true, right? Because it happens this week. It's actually not happening yet. So
it's on the poster 2024.
No. It's not even commissioned yet, right? So it could get a fantasy reboot, right? They are, obviously they've done Lord of the Rings to death. They're going back to the House of Dragons, you know, so they're kind of going back. They run out of fancy stuff and they go, oh, wait a second. There was this thing in the 80s that people loved. It had a dog and people eating rocks. They're currently looking.
A dog. That is a terrible way to describe it.
Do you know why I say that? Because this article that I'm quoting from calls Falcor a dog. Okay.
Terrible. Right.
So, Neverending Story was a book, was made into a movie, and they are putting out for there are multiple parties who are now pitching for the rights to remake the Neverending Story. Okay, this is now you're getting to Hollywood machinations here, right? So nobody has got it yet, right? They say it spawned a TV series. I do remember that. Video games, Neverending Story video games. Pop songs, spin-off novels, and stage plays. I've heard of those. Of course, it came back into the consciousness Stranger Things, the Stranger Things season, the last one, the one before this current one.
Season
right?
Three.
So there.
Yes.
Season three, correct?
Right.
But there's been no new material for the past couple of years. They made the movie in 1984. Wolfgang Peterson made that movie. And now Disney, Amazon, probably Roku as well. There is now a fight, they say, over who's going to make it. Why they've never made it, it's got caught up in some weird German courts over who actually owns the property, right? So at one point, Leonardo DiCaprio was trying to get a new version made. Star Wars people were trying to get it made. I mean, if Star Wars people cannot unravel this, it's just wrapped up in a whole bunch of IP-related nonsense. That is why... Because there has to be a reason why they've never exploited it. There has to be.
Yeah, I suppose, Except for the fact that it's a bad idea, you mean?
I think, yes, it is a bad idea. So, because but
there's no ways, even with amazing special effects and, you know, how things have changed since the 80s, there's no ways it's going to be better. Not a chance. And I bet you they wouldn't have the quicksand scene, which, as traumatic as it is important, part of the movie, and I bet you they wouldn't do it.
As we've said before, as kids in the 80s, we thought quicksand was going to be such a problem for us as adults.
And now we know. Right. Now everyone knows that it's not a problem, so they won't have that scene.
Now we know it's not a problem. So the reason this thing gets so caught up in nonsense is that the author of Neverending Story, who wrote the original book, Michael Ender, he sued the producers of the movie. He said, you deviated too much. That's not my story. How dare you? He called it a gigantic melodrama of kitsch commerce, plush and plastic. That's what I loved about it.
I mean, plush and plastic sounds like a good name for a band. Just saying. Or a shop.
So anyway, the whole thing, it's a mess. But Disney will win. If anyone can unravel the mess, Disney will just buy the whole thing. They'll just buy Germany. So expect a new Neverending Story coming soon. And you know what I think? I think it is quite right that a new generation gets traumatized the way we were. I want to see horses drown. I just want to see everything scary. So new generation must get what we got And I think that's only fair. It's the passing of the baton. So for well, that reason
alone.
Well,
that way, you convinced me.
Yeah. out of spite, they must get it.
It's terrible.
All right. Movie time. Dory, let's go.
Well, contrary to what you said earlier, Paolo, my movie is neither from 1980 or set in the 1980s. Kind of, not really. I'm going a bit of a different way this week. And I have a story to tell, which is more about my bad maths than anything else, as in I can't put one and one together. So last year, or possibly even the year before, my husband said to me, have you watched the George Michael documentary? I'm like, what George Michael documentary? He said, no, there's a documentary out. It's really good.
No, when did he ask you this?
Probably a year or two ago.
Okay, so it's not the new one. The Freedom Uncut one.
Here unravels the story.
Okay.
I said to him, it's too soon. I can't.
Right.
I'm not emotionally ready to deal with George's death. I don't think I'll ever be emotionally ready to deal with George's death. And when he said to me, let's watch this docu, I was like, no, because I can't. And I ignored the fact that there was a docu. And of course, we heard earlier this year all the hype about Freedom Uncut, blah, 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 blah. And this docu is coming out at the movies and all the places that we can't see it. And I did not put one and one together that it is actually the same documentary, but it is the uncut version. It is approximately 23 minutes longer than the version that my husband watched a couple of years ago, which earlier this week I said to him, I'm ready. Give it to me. And I watched. So I watched the cut version, not realizing it is the same as the one that is it's actually around. I think it's already playing on Apple. From what I can see, it looks like it is streaming on Apple already, Freedom Uncut, the documentary. Okay. Now, Paolo, have you seen the uncut version?
I have not seen George Michael cut or uncut. I've not been that fortunate.
I mean, this conversation, the way it's going. Well, guess what? So after I made this realization, literally last night, I made this realization, and I said to my husband, oh, but we'll never be able to get the uncut version because it's on Apple, and you can't get anything on Apple. And 10 minutes later, he walked into the room with a flash drive and went, here you go. Huh. So
your husband is a little bit of a technical whiz. So let's like just put it there. He is a little bit of he's a technical savant. Oh, yeah.
Somehow it's on the internet. I am going to rewatch, obviously, the uncut version. In fact, Barrett is probably going to come over and watch it this weekend because he wants to see it as well. Amen. But I can talk about the cut version. I don't know what was cut out, obviously, yet. I will report back once I've watched the uncut version.
Yes.
But I have watched the George Michael documentary, and as I expected, I cried. It's beautifully done. It's brilliantly done. It makes me so sad. At the same time, it didn't make me quite as sad as I expected it to, because it really just showed what an amazing person and what an amazing life and what an amazing talent. And yes, it's very sad that that was all cut short, but the fact that it existed in the first place is actually something to celebrate. And what's great about this documentary is he was working on it when he died. So a lot of it had already been filmed. So it's all done. It's all the interviews with all the people, and it's all a bunch of famous people. I'll give you the list now. They're all talking about him in the present tense as if he's still here.
Oh, that's wild.
And I kind of like that, you know,
because he was still there.
Yeah, he was still there. This is not we're remembering George Michael kind of. This is literally this was being made while he was still around, and he was making it. It was his project. He narrates it, so you hear his voice throughout.
Oh, that's spooky.
But it's great. I mean, it's better than an AI voice, right? Because they would have done that otherwise. So at least it's his real voice.
You're right. Yes.
Yeah,
they would have taken, yes, they would have been clever dicks, and they would have taken like a whole bunch of past interviews and spoken word stuff and actually AI'd. You're right. So it's actually better.
Exactly. So let me just read you the list of people who speak about George in the documentary. And I mean, it's really interesting. Stevie Wonder, who's great. I'm going to come back to him. Mary J. Blige, Naomi Campbell, James Corden, Elton John, Linda Evangelista, Cindy Crawford, Tony Bennett, Liam Gallagher, Christy Turlington, Ricky Gervais, Tatiana Patitz, who I'd never heard of, but she's a model. Nile Rodgers, Tracy Emin, the artist, which I was amazed. I think they were friends. Mm-hmm. Mark Ronson, Jean-Paul Gaultier, David Austin. I can't remember who David Austin was. But yeah, I mean, that's just a list of the people. And Liam Gallagher, I was surprised because, you know, he's known to be like a hard ass, really. And he had good things to say. And it was really cool. Elton John was great. James Corden, I felt like James Corden was put in. I mean, he
was
did.
James
George
Corden.
Michael was instrumental in creating Carpool Karaoke. Mm. I don't know if you remember that story. I've told it on the show before. He was instrumental in creating it. So James Corden, there's obviously a thing there. But he felt out of place in the docu for me. I don't know. He was very annoying.
Is that not James Corden just in general? He's just out of place in anything
so
in our attention. Yes, he is. Like, why are you surprised by any of this? James Corden is the most annoying man in the world.
I haven't watched Carpool Karaoke in a long time. Used to watch it all the time. Haven't watched it. I don't even know if it's still a thing. Is it still a thing? I don't know. Haven't watched it in forever. He was just annoying. But I'll tell you who was great was Stevie Wonder. And there's a part, and I mean, I vaguely remember this happening at the time, but I didn't remember all the details. There was a controversy in the late 80s where George Michael suddenly became really popular on what, in inverted commas, black radio stations. He was doing a lot more, when he launched his solo career, he was doing a lot more soul stuff. He got teamed up with Aretha Franklin.
Exactly.
It was all very... Yeah,
it's probably said in this documentary, by the way, but it's worth saying. Mm-hmm. I mean, he is, by people who know way more than me, people rate him as one of the best soul singers of all time, with one of the best soul voices ever. Like, so that's no surprise.
Exactly. So what had happened was because of this, I think it was the American Music Awards, he got nominated in a category that is traditionally black artists, as in best soul singer. And the point is he won the award and there was an uproar about it. There was an outcry. And I vaguely remember this happening. And that's actually, that whole thing is what prompted him to write Listen Without Prejudice. Because it basically, all of us, he was so popular. Everybody loved him. All of a sudden people were like, basically back then saying cultural appropriation. Funniest part of the docu, and I'm spoiling this because it's too funny. You'll still appreciate it when you watch the docu. They're talking about this to Stevie Wonder, and he goes, "What? George isn't black?"
Yes, that's what we want from Stevie Wonder. That's what we want.
It was amazing.
Oh, like the other Stevie Wonder story when they were recording We Are the World. And he says, "Check your egos at the door, because anyone who causes shit, I'm driving you home."
And then, again, I'm going to refer to that music video where he is driving in a car.
Yes.
Just going to refer back to it. Got to mention it. But yeah, he was really good. It's a great docu. Look, I mean, sad and all that kind of stuff. And Ricky Gervais is great. I love him, though. But, I mean, he also says such lovely things about George. And so, yes, I've watched Freedom Cut, and I will soon be watching Freedom Uncut, and I shall report back.
So now you're confusing me.
It is available in the internet.
Which one is where? So which one do you say is on Apple?
The Uncut is on Apple, but I mean, we managed to procure a copy.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
So
no. Listen, Apple is a struggling company. I feel that I should pay them. I don't want them to go under by stealing the content. So I'll make sure that I kind of get that. I'd imagine it, if it's on Apple, I'd imagine it's available on a number of streaming platforms, or, you know, probably. Pirate Bay is streaming. It's technically a streaming platform. You do you. Okay.
Like,
but just
ask for it. I just got given it.
No, that's great. Yes. I'm very happy to hear about that. I'm more happy to hear, because I did look around the internet for it. I couldn't find it, but I figured it will be coming out soon. You say it's out. I'm definitely going to be watching that. We've got a George Michael and George Michael cultural appropriation story coming up later. Dory and I need to get into our feels about this, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we do.
But before that, great movie recommendation. I've got one. I'm very perplexed. I'm confused about my movie. The first thing is it's confusing because it stars Michael Dudikoff, but it's not an American Ninja movie. Okay. Yeah.
Made other movies?
Such a thing exists. There exists a okay. Michael Dudikoff film where he is not an American Ninja. Shirt off, ripped to hell, but not fighting anybody, right? It was the year before he got cast for American Ninja. Do you know at the time they said he's going to be the next James Dean? Michael Dudikoff. That's what they said.
I mean,
right?
Sweet, but...
Listen, a legacy of his own. I dare anybody who wants to talk trash about Michael Dudikoff...
Maybe he said he's going to be the next James Dean.
It was said.
Who's they?
It was said. People. You want to talk trash about Michael Dudikoff? I'm fucking Red Ninja-ing you out of
I window. Loved him. I loved yes. him. And I don't do action movies. And I watched all those American yes. Ninja movies. Okay? So don't hassle me. Right.
Okay. Right. So it starred him. Now, it is best described as a sex comedy. It is bawdy, right? My movie.
Mm.
Okay. Now, okay. A lot of comedy movies from the 80s haven't aged well, especially the sex comedies, right? But... we've said before, you got to watch these movies. You can't be now. You got to be there. Understand that it was wrong. And this is just the thing, right? Okay. If you're going to make a movie like this, you want to make it Porky's or Revenge of the Nerds and be the best of that, right? If you're going to be rubbish, you must be the best of the rubbish, right? Okay. But obviously those two were super successful. They found that suddenly people want to watch movies like this and there came a whole lot of copycats, right? This movie is one of the copycats. Every female cast member is a terrible actor. Terrible, 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 terrible actress. Until you start looking and go, oh, wait, they're all Playboy models. They're all centerfolds.
Okay.
That's why they're bad. That's why they're not afraid to be nude as much as they are. And gratuitously, unnecessarily nude, but they're nude.
And for you to say that, it must really be unnecessary.
Yes. Oh, no. Kelly McGillis. Kelly McGillis from original Top Gun. No,
okay.
Wait. She was meant to be in this movie. They turned her down. They said she's not sexy enough. Kelly McGillis, right? Reed, she would not get nude often enough, right? So,
exactly.
So that's what I think.
Good for
the movie,
you, Kelly.
Good for you, Kelly. I paused this movie on 1:42, okay? Just to go, let me just write down here what I've seen. By 1:42, I'd already seen the main character hit on a nun. I'd already seen 11, 12-year-old schoolboys going through porno mags. I'd already seen there was like a wahooga moment on a woman's breasts, even where the camera like pans in and out like this. Wahooga. And I'd already seen a baby with a cocktail in his hands. 1:42. Okay.
Hang on. Is this movie on YouTube?
Let me tell you how I find it. It probably is.
Right.
So this week I'm going through Disney Plus. By this point, Disney Plus, I'm sorry, I want the check. I'm done. I'm done promoting your movies because I think I've reviewed every 80s movie on there. They're going to check the analytics. Like something very weird happens every Friday night. We have a spike in 80s movies. We don't know South Africa. We don't know why. We don't know what's going on.
In South Africa, right. Yeah.
In South Africa. So Pinocchio comes out this week, right, on Disney Plus. And who stars in it? Tom Hanks. Right, he's Geppetto.
Is this a new Pinocchio?
A new Pinocchio, live action, like they did with Lion King and all that. Yeah, live action Pinocchio, yeah. Tom Hanks is Geppetto. So I'm like, okay, cool, I'll put that on my list. Watch it sometime, it could be quite cute.
Mm.
If you like that, you may also like this and start showing me other Tom Hanks movies, right? Big is there,
right.
The Man with Ron Red Shoe is there. This movie is there. Now, this movie has been on my list to review for so long, but I remember that movie to be, even for this and for me, was a pile of trash. I'm just going to leave it. I've had this movie on my list for 2.5 years to review. I've never got to it until now.
Okay.
So Disney Plus told me, you like Geppetto, you like Tom Hanks, you're going to like this movie. So Tom Hanks is the main character, him and his friends, a bunch of rapscallions, sex crazy. But Tom Hanks has got a girlfriend, and now listen, you think I had the Daniel Craig, Daniel Radcliffe. Wait for me to do the Tom Hanks, Tom Cruise thing.
Oh, God.
So,
okay.
rapscallion, but he has this girlfriend who, she's like typical 80s valley girl, like crazy 80s clothes, works in a fashion store. She's actually super rich. Like, she doesn't look super rich, but she's super rich. And of course, now he proposes to her, going to get married. The family doesn't like him. There's an ex-boyfriend who the family would prefer for her. And it's the night of the Bachelor Party, which is the name of the movie, Bachelor Party, starring Tom Hanks. Has this ever come into your consciousness?
Literally did not know it existed until right this second.
Right. Okay. So it's got all that stuff, right? It's a night of Bachelor Party shenanigans. Him and his friends, they start this Bachelor Party in a hotel room. I don't know how it happens, but there ends up thousands of people in this hotel room. Like, it's just, every time you go back, there are more and more people, and there's just orgies breaking out everywhere between all these strangers. Hookers are coming in. It's just one of those.
It's the precursor to The Hangover, is what you're saying.
Now, say that, right? But Hangover was genius comedy. It was Bachelor Party, and, you know, it was genius comedy. This is a Bachelor Party movie done like, it was inspired by the writer's Bachelor Party, and which is a bad idea. Because we all remember our bachelor parties way better than they actually were. Everyone's like, oh, I had the best. No, you didn't. We all got drunk. Like, it wasn't as interesting as you thought it was. It just wasn't. If you've been to a bachelor party sober and then heard about the bachelor party from people who are drunk, you're like, no, that didn't happen. Okay.
Right.
So that's an insight. I'm sorry to break it to you. If you say, oh, my bachelor party was different. No, it wasn't. It was the same. You were just too drunk to know. Just know that
just
your bachelor party wasn't that interesting.
Out of curiosity, do you remember your bachelor party? Because I imagine you were horrifically drunk.
No, I actually wasn't that drunk. We did go White River rafting. Then afterwards, I got dressed up as a woman, as you do. And we were in Paris, and we went in a bar. I was Paris Hilton. I had a blonde wig, and I had a tutu. I was Paris Hilton. And there's photos of people in helmets getting hit with cricket bats, but again, not that interesting. It's not, I'm telling you, it's not as interesting as you remember it, right?
I want to see photos.
There are. Ask Louis. He'll get them to you. Don't worry. Louis, number one fan of the show, content contributor. He'll share the photos.
Cousin Louis,
right? Cousin Louis, right. So, like I say, this is more talk about bachelor parties. Not as interesting as you thought. Don't make a movie about it, right?
Mm-hmm,
again, you and your friends talking shit is not a podcast. No one wants to listen to it. It's not a good idea. Don't do it. Okay. Except this one. So it follows all the stuff. There's a lot of nudity. There's weird things happen. So the ex-boyfriend tries to buy the fiance from Tom Hanks. He first offers him $10,000 and then offers him a Porsche. Okay. And then just straight up kidnaps her. He just kidnaps her. Right. Tom Hanks is then also very like, no, you know, I will not sleep around. I love this woman. I'm not going to screw around on her. And his friends keep bringing girlfriends from the past to try and go, oh, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's here. And he will not. He won't sleep with her because he loves his girlfriend. And the plot contrivance, when his girlfriend tries to bust him because she hears about this crazy party that's happening, she dresses up, hides in a room dark. He's all ready to, like, get it on with this mystery girl with a southern accent. It just doesn't make sense. Just don't look for sense.
I'm just looking at the poster.
Yes.
And the payoff line is shocking, shameless, sinful, wicked, and the party hasn't even started.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it's a very typically 80s movie poster.
No, and it's a very typically 80s movie of this type. Everything you expect to happen is in this movie. It happens. I've seen it. You've seen it 100 times before, 100 times since. Nothing interesting. Some cool songs on the soundtrack. Oingo Boingo's on there. REM, Wang Chung, Police. So some nice songs every now and again. The one thing I saw on there that I hadn't seen before is a donkey gets born into it because it's the Bachelor Party movie, and the donkey overdoses on coke, which I've never seen that before.
I hope there was one of those no animals were harmed during this thing at the end of the credits.
It was the 80s. It was not. It was probably one of the movies that made you like, we got to start putting that. Look, it was very evidently not a real donkey when you saw the body of it, so... Or taking coke. It was very evidently not.
Did they put, like, talcum powder over the donkey's snout?
That's it. So, look, I've never done a movie not recommendation before, but I'm kind of like going, I don't think I want anybody to watch this movie. It is on Disney Plus in its full format. They have not cut a thing. They do that a bit on Disney Plus. They've not cut anything out of it.
So there's lots of boobies is what you're saying. Lots of boobies.
But that doesn't even make up for it. I've got to be honest. I don't know. Am
oh, really?
I getting older?
Doesn't salvage it, eh?
I've got a huge tolerance for shit 80s movies. Shit 80s movies
you,
and shit kung fu movies. No, I do. I do. But even this, there were times I was like,
Hang on, I'm still unclear. What's Michael Dudikoff's role in this movie?
He says four words. He's his best friend, and he doesn't wear a shirt. It's never explained what he does. There's seven friends, right? So first of all, there's just way too many friends there, right? So none of them really have a point. But of all of them, like the one at least gets organized the party, the one organizes the hookers, the one's his brother. Michael Dudikoff is just, it's not even his best friend. He's just there without a shirt. That
but can't you imagine
role.
That, like, between filming scenes, like, so he would have just said to somebody, I'm just happy to be here. I'm just happy to not be on a kung fu movie.
Well, this is before. He's so, he's such a non-part of it.
Oh, American Ninja. Okay.
Yes, he gets cast in American Ninja the next year. Yes. So this is before American Ninja.
Oh, so he was just happy to be there.
He was
and probably
literally,
thought this was the trajectory of his acting career, and boy, was he
that's
wrong.
It. That's it.
Sure.
He's not even, you know, on Wikipedia where they list who's starring in it, like kind of on the one original. He's not even there on it. You have to go to like the big cast list to see his name.
This sounds like a warning, not a recommendation, I have to say.
Yeah, you know what? It was kind of cashing in. They went, you know, you've got Porky's, Revenge of the Nerds, Police Academy's in the same vein.
Tom, you see, I've just done it. I almost did Tom Cruise.
So easy.
Tom Hanks, what a draw card.
So he wasn't a big star yet. And I think here's the interesting thing. If anything.
Before all the others. Yeah.
If anything, Tom Hanks was in a lot of shit movies. Like a lot. Right? He was in that weird Dungeons and Dragons thing, you know.
Yeah.
If anything, watch this movie because it's a fascinating insight into how much we love Tom Hanks, right? Because you go, look at the things he starred in and we still love him, right? We never went back and said, look, he's Geppetto. Oh, he's Woody. Oh, but he did this movie with boobies and donkeys. No, it doesn't matter. He's Tom Hanks. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. Tom Hanks, guys.
But I mean, isn't it interesting that his trajectory from there on was incredible compared to poor Michael's?
Well, for some people, some may say.
Well, I mean, his fame and his, even if you just look at how much money he made from movies versus what Michael Dudikoff did. But Michael Dudikoff did get to travel to South Africa to film American Ninja 3.
Allegedly. I very much doubt there's a stamp on his passport.
If you have a photo of yourself with Michael Dudikoff in Creston Mall, send it to us.
Yes, send it. We don't believe he was ever here. Officially, he was never here. Even though there's 90 minutes of video evidence, he was never here. But would you rather want to be remembered as all these roles? Oh, what Philadelphia, Forrest Gump, Woody, so many things. He was – or – one iconic, era-defining, no one could ever be like. Because we know, 40 years time, they're going to start. They do. There's going to be a Forrest Gump remake and all that.
Oh God, no, please! That's going to be so awful.
There's going to be Philadelphia. Oh. I'm telling you now, they're going to remake those things. It's coming, but there will never be American Ninja. And then I ask you, whose legacy is greater? Whose legacy is greater? So that's our movie recommendations. We need a song. Movie recommendations. Dari recommended George Michael Freedom Cut. So let's just play some Wham. Why not? Let's do it. Welcome back to That 80 Show. Everything you hear on the show today, you can find on That 80 Show essay on Facebook. We spoke about cultural appropriation twice. We were talking about Milli Vanilli and then George Michael was appropriating soul singers. I feel our culture is being appropriated. I don't want to make light of it. Okay.
When you say our.
Okay.
Because you and I have technically different cultures. So what do you mean by our?
I think we're aligned on this one.
Okay.
You may not want to join, but I very much believe in the institution. I believe of myself as a Wampostle. Okay. I'm a Wamp. I'm right. Wampostleistic. I follow the church of Wamp.
Wampostle.
I'm a Wampostle.
This is the first time I've heard that word. Okay.
Okay. I don't know if you want to join me, but I believe in Wampostle.
How about a Wamp evangel? Okay. How do you evangelist? A Wampostleist.
A Wampostleist. Okay.
A Wampostleist.
but it is. Listen, whatever it is, we're going to be wearing like white shorts and t-shirts. So that's right. Where we're going to be. We're going to be tanned, right? We can get sun tans. So Louis Capaldi is a person, right? Do you know him?
Never heard of him before.
So apparently a singer. I thought he was a racing car driver. Like ever done anything.
Sounds like a name of a perfume.
You know? So Louis Capaldi, people like him, apparently. He's like quite self-deprecating. He's like very body positive. Cool singer as well. Scottish guy. But this week, so there's a bit of George Michael buzz. Of course, when George Michael stuff's happening, we always kind of see it. The George Michael official account posts this out this week. I'm sure we've seen this somewhere before. Louis Capaldi for his new music video. Okay. I forget the name of the song. I heard it earlier. I closed the tab. Forget Me.
Yeah.
Okay. Slow ballady type song. The music video is a frame for frame remake of the Club Tropicana music video. Right. Louis Capaldi does not have George Michael's body back then. Okay. It is weird.
Hey, body positivity. Let's go with it.
That's what he's about.
He does not look anything like George Michael.
No. But the music video is frame for frame, even to the point we commented on our WhatsApp, they even have a Tony Pike lookalike. Now, if you don't know Tony Pike, he was like a sex fiend. He said he had some blood condition or something that made him have too much sex. Like,
no, wasn't it that it made him have erections all day long or something?
Yes,
like that.
Something like that.
Yes.
I mean, allegedly he's the only person that ever satisfied Grace Jones. I mean, this is a real person. And he had this hotel in Ibiza that was just Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's where they shot the Club Tropicana music video. He's actually in it, Tony Pike. He's the guy mixing margaritas, got a little red scarf. But they even in this video,
amazing mustache.
Oh, amazing. Amazing.
Yes.
I'm telling you, he's wearing no pants under that bar. But this is the guy, Tony Pike. But anyway, there's a Tony Pike lookalike in this Louis Capaldi remake of the Club Tropicana music video. I don't know if I'm angry or if I think it's actually a beautiful thing. George Michael's people, his official people running his social media, seem to love it. Have you watched the video? I know you've seen a couple of pieces that I've sent you.
No, I watched the whole thing, and I was actually trying to figure out, was it also filmed at Parks, or was it filmed at a place that looked like Parks?
It looks
because Parks
like,
still exists.
It's frame for frame. I mean, wherever it's done.
Yeah, no, it has to be filmed there. It has to be filmed there.
I mean, it is identical. Every scene is identical.
I could think about. Okay, first of all, I don't like the song. I don't know Louis Capaldi. I don't know his music. I don't like this particular song. But
no, me neither.
They must have watched Club Tropicana so many times.
More than us?
Like, imagine how many times they had to watch it to get this video right.
I can.
And I did make a comment about how there's a few things I actually think it's quite cool. I don't like the song, but I think the idea is quite cool. And just, I see it as an homage. And I did notice the politically correct upgrade where in the original video, Pepsi and Shirley were air hostesses. And in this video, the two girls are also pilots.
They're also pilots. Yes.
Anyone can be a pilot, Paolo. Anyone, okay?
There is a TikTok where they've taken like a shortcut and they've overlaid Club Tropicana over the video, right? And there's also another one where they actually lay them next to each other. It is frame by frame. It's way better. Listen, it's not perfect. I mean, obviously, the actual Club Tropicana. But if you're going to do it, not his song, put Club Tropicana over it. So, okay, I'm with you because he definitely loves George Michael. Right, it's definitely an homage and it's a parody done well. Right, huge criticism. There is no Andrew Ridgeley guy.
I noticed that, right? That in every scene where the two of them, it's just him and he is George Michael. And I did notice that. And I'm like, but it didn't bother me that much because clearly Lewis Capaldi is a solo artist. He's not going to just have a random dude with him.
Game changer if there was an Andrew Ridgely cameo. I've watched it so many times because I'm like, did he do the ultimate and hide Andrew Ridgely somewhere in there? That would have been, fuck you, Capaldi. I love you. You're the best.
Do you think Andrew Ridgely would have said yes if he had been asked? Because he's older than he was in the 80s, as we all
know.
He is still in great shape, but he does look like he could be Lewis Capaldi's father in the music.
That's fine. But just have him maybe, because I watched, I thought, is he the
Tony Parker? a cameo appearance would have been good.
Just somewhere.
I wonder
just like
if they thought of it and asked him.
They definitely did. There is no way they went through that amount of effort and didn't go, let's just ask him. Let's just ask. All he's going to do is say no. Like us, when you ask for an interview. All he did was say no. A lot of times. Okay?
We keep trying. We will keep trying.
He said no with a restraining
Basically,
order.
The whole reason that 80 show exists is to get an interview with Andrew Ridgely. Once we get it, the show will not be no more. So let's just keep going.
Yeah, we're going to keep going. So at least I'm sure they asked him in the very least. Okay, so he is not appropriating our wampostalistic beliefs. are you in my culture now, or you're not sure?
I'm in your culture. I'm a wangelist.
A Wangelist Evangelista. She was in the Freedom music video as well, if you want to reference that. Just before we go, I want to tell you a crazy story, Dori. I saw a tiki box last week.
Where? Like a real one, a working one. Surely not a working one. They didn't even work in the 80s.
So the tiki box I saw is one of those old orange ones, those dome ones, right? Remember those? They were like this massive orange dome with the phone. Listen, if you don't know, there used to be things called public phones. You used to go in the public and put a coin in and phone people, like, right? We didn't have mobile phones.
That's cool.
But in South Africa, we had these big orange domes, which were they're called tiki boxes. There was a currency we're using. It was a coin. That's how much a call cost. And I saw this tiki box on the back of a van being transported somewhere. It's like, what a bizarre thing am I seeing?
I mean, I'll tell you, it's not that bizarre. I'll tell you why. Gareth Cliff interviewed Jack Parra recently.
Yes.
And it's actually in the video. He has also got one of those in his home. And he bought it, especially from somebody in South Africa. And it obviously got transported somehow. Because he bought it from, it was far away from where he lives. And he's converted it into like a recording booth type thing.
Nice.
In a way.
Nice.
Like a little, yeah. So they do exist. And people have them. And people are now selling them, clearly.
Of all the million things you learned this week, what's the favorite thing you learned?
There's only one favorite thing I learned this week. Is that you are a drag artist named Paris Hilton.
We agree to not share that information. Lesson of the week, your bachelor party was not as interesting as you think it was. Trust me, you were very drunk. Thanks for joining me, Dori. Goodbye.